Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord gave me something to share with you. It's a real honor for me to get to speak to you this morning, and I want you to know that it's a real honor that you're here. We're very thankful that you come to be with us. I put on the board this subject I want to think about today, glory to God. I think we're here as a Christian this morning. We want the world to know our God. We have a vision, a thought about God and what He is to us, what God has done for us. And we want the world to know and recognize who He is, what He is. And we're the ones that's going to represent God. We're representing God here, and we want God to know that. We want people to know what God is and what He does to us. So I want to think about this morning. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the apostle here is dealing with the beginnings of the gospel age. I don't know if you think about these things, but I do quite a bit, and think about what it must have been like to introduce the gospel to people that never had it before, people that knew nothing about anything about God before, and they introduced that and the message of repentance and salvation and forgiveness of your sins, and that Christ died for you, and the beautiful message of the gospel. And these people received the gospel. God gave them faith enough to believe. They believed. They knew they had an experience with God. And now, how do you live your life? I mean, it's more than that's the experience, and thank God for that salvation and that freedom from sin and all of that, but now I've got to live life. And so Paul, in his time, now he's dealing with the Corinthian church, and there was the variety of people and everything that was there, and he's dealing with them, and you know how how people are. There's so many different personalities and things and ways about it of people. And I know in my own experience, you run into so many different kinds of people, and Paul's dealing with that and in this experience here. And so Paul's dealing with the things like, what do you eat? Is it all right to eat this or not eat this? And do you drink this? And can I drink some of this? And I not drink this? Do I get to go here? Do I don't go here? Am I part of this festivity? And do I have to stay away from this festivity? And can I eat things offered? And can I not eat things offered? And can I do this? Because it's about daily life. And the apostle's dealing with all the things about humanity and all the things about the different things that it can do. And you have to deal with that. I want to know understanding. And I want us to know that living for God is a hard experience. It will always be a hard experience. It's more than just what you do, but it's having the heart for God. We are to have a heart for our God. We are to want to lift up our God. We want to tell the people that God is more than just a fairy tale. He's more than something. He's something real in my life. He's something to make a difference in your life. We want to exalt Him for who He is. He's a God of love and mercy and patience. He's a wonderful God, and we want people to know it. So it's more than just saying, you don't eat this. People want rules because it's easy sometimes. Give me a rule. Tell me to do this, to do this, to do this, don't do this, don't do this, and put it in a charter, put it in a discipline, and I'll join your group and I won't do those things, or I will do the things I'm supposed to do. That's not what Paul wanted. It's not what God wanted. God wants us to have a heart that glorifies Him. We want to have a heart that lifts up God. So here in this, and Paul kind of concludes with all of the do's and don'ts and the things that you do, and you can read the chapter there, but in the 31st verse of this chapter, Paul says it this way. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What Paul is saying is that there's no way to write out a discipline for you. there's no way for me to make you, have you to do this accurately with all of these things. Nobody can do these kind of things. But no matter what you do, I didn't tell you to eat this or not eat this, but that doesn't change your heart. Do all that you do. Do it to the glory of God. Therefore, I'm going to put a mark higher for you to come to. Instead of just making a rule for you, not only what you eat and what you drink, but whatsoever you do, where you go, involve God in it. No matter what is accomplished in your life, do it to the glory of God. Don't take a shortcut on that. You know, sometimes we run into the idea of saying, well, I want to be right here on the fence because I want a little of this or this. Or we have the idea what can I get by with? How close to the lines of God's acceptability can I get? How close can I get away from that? That's not what our heart should be. Our heart should be that whatsoever we do, we do it to the glory of God. I want my life to matter, so I want God to be lifted up in what I'm doing. God isn't restricted. I think God is a God that wants us to enjoy the things He created, a wonderful world. You know, there's people here because we're deer hunting. Well, if the Lord wills, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to go deer hunting. But that's not separated from what God is. That's not separated out of that. And I'm not going to say that God's going to directly put a deer in my path or not a deer in my path or whatever and do. But if I get a deer tomorrow, it'll be because God gave me strength to get out of bed tomorrow. And if I do anything that's accomplished in anything, it's because God's goodness has allowed me to live in this life long enough to do it. And God, I know God can intervene and do things, but do all that you do to the glory of God. And we don't want to make restrictions on people's life. Actually, we want to liberate people to the glory of God, that they have a heart to lift up God. And that's what the worship of God really is. So Lord, help us to glorify God in all that we do. If it's not going to bring glory to God, I don't want to do it. I don't think fighting with my wife in the Walmart will bring glory to God. I don't think you think that either. Well, I like to tell this story, but my wife clipped me with the buggy one time, the cart in Walmart. And I was going along and she clipped my heels, and that hurts. And she clipped my heels, and I remember the feeling that I had from the pain of it. And my reaction was, my reaction was something like, and instantly, the voice that speaks to us spoke to me and said, you better be very careful. You look holy. And these people, there was people that actually, I seen eyes went up and look at me when I turned around and went, Do all that you do to the glory of God. I'm not saying that's the time to say, thank you, honey, that was really good. No, but there's a time to respond in life. Lord, help us to lift up and glorify God. Now, one of the points I want to get to with this is that life can be difficult. And Christian life, I have to say from Christian life, I know there's the blessing of God and there's the grace of God and there's a power that God gives us, a divine power that God helps us in life with. But I don't find the Christian experience a just drifting along, a floating along in life experience. That's not the experience that I've got with the Lord, is that it's just, you just get out on the stream of life and you just carelessly float right into the right places and you just go in that. I don't find it like that. As a matter of fact, I find it swimming upstream all the time. I feel it going against the odds all the time. And sometimes we can be frustrated with that, or sometimes we can get to the place that we say, why is everything against me? Why don't I try to do good and then these people speaking against what I'm trying to do? And you get frustrated with that sometimes and those kind of things. And say, I want to say, do all that you do to the glory of God. And God has a way of bringing glory to Himself, And He can use us to His glory. You know, if we would get our hearts right before the Lord and get it serious before the Lord and have the idea, and the prayer is, Lord, use my life for Your glory. I only have one life, and what's the songwriter say? If I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to Thee. I'd give You all of them. Lord, I want You take my life and let it be. You know, take what I am and let it be. Jesus was the Son of God and given the Spirit without measure, and yet he labored in between the man and said, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, to bring glory to you, to bring glory to the cause. Thy will be done, not the will of the flesh that wants to get out of this, but to thy glory, to lift up the Lord." And we swim upstream, and it's by design to bring glory to God. Why was it that David, in his youth, ruddy little boy, had to face the biggest guy on the planet? Well, I don't know that, but he would be running for it. But why did the discrepancy? Why such a big deal? What honor and glory God got from a little boy, a youth that just said, "I give my life to the cause of God. Lord, I'm not going down there in my own power." But it wouldn't have meant something if David had went down there and there's a little guy standing there about nose high on David. Little spindly guy with a stick. It would have meant nothing. No, he had to be a 10-foot giant. He had to be a man of war. He had to be something that was formidable. David had to swim upstream against this. He wasn't going to go down there in his own power, in his own might, in his own ability, and overcome him. He was going to need the power of God. You know, many things in our life are designed for the salvation of our families. It's designed for the community to be able to see that God is real and works in people's lives. And if we don't step into that and do all to the glory of God, we missed the opportunity. There was a whole army of Israel with the same lineage, the same background, and the same faith that David, or the same faith in, and the same God to have faith in as David had, and none of them came up to the moment to glorify God in the moment that the giant steps out and defiles the armies of Israel and God. And he stood out there, and here's the opposition, and it's bigger than me, and it's scary, and it's hard to deal with, and it's going to bring glory to God, because that's the way it's designed to do it. You know what we got against us in this world? The whole world is against us. If you live, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You live godly, and you're going to have the persecution of the world against you. We got the devil against us. We got our own flesh against us. We're swimming upstream all the time, and the odds are great, and there's always these great situations. And you look time and time in the Scripture what God did to bring glory to himself. He put them in a place that they was, it's impossible. Why was it that the prophet Elijah goes down to have a competition between him and the prophet of Baal? No. The prophets of Baal. One man and his servant goes down there to go up against 450 false prophets to bring glory to God. Why was it that the discrepancies was so much? Hezekiah, the day of Hezekiah, if you remember, the Assyrians had the great conquering army. They were conquering everybody through the lands. They was steamrolling everybody, just rolling through. And here they come, and now they come up to Hezekiah, tell Hezekiah, just give up, because we're going to steamroll you, and don't tell your people that God's going to deliver you, because that's what the other people told their people too, that, and they didn't, and you're not going through. And the army was 180,000, and they had swords and spears, and they was a great army, and it was too much for them. And what can you do about it? And you're going to swim upstream the whole time. You're going to have the odds against you the whole time, to the glory of God. There's things to overcome. There's things. I find the biggest things to overcome is not the exterior things. The biggest things that I've faced is the giants within. It's the things that my sister called me one time and said, Marty, God did the greatest miracle. And I'm thinking, hold it, sis, hold it. This is a challenge, the greatest miracle. Let's see. He caused the sun to go back so many degrees. That's in the scriptures. That was the big one that never been done before. He split the Red Sea. That was notable. He done the greatest miracle. I don't know. What was it? He changed me. The greatest miracle was that he changed me, and the problems and the difficulties and things that I can't overcome, the giants and the difficulties. We swim upstream, folks. But God is there, and he wants to bring glory. He wants to bring glory to his cause and to his name. Oh, Lord, help me to be a servant of God that wants to bring glory to God. Too many people want to bring glory to themselves. I did this, I did that, I done all these things. We're unprofitable servants. Bring glory to God. It's God that does these things. In scripture in Judges, 7th chapter of Judges, first verse says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, and so that the most of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now, here's a situation to where there was a war scene here. And I think God is dealing always with the hearts of the people and really wants them to have the heart of the people. It wasn't necessarily that they had too many people. It was the fact that having too many people was going to cause them to have the wrong opinion about themselves. You can have the right amount of, all the people you want if you can have the right opinion of yourself. But if having too many people is going to give you the wrong opinion of yourself, then God isn't interested in that. And so God says to him, you got too many people to fight a battle. Where in the history of war did anybody ever say, I have too many people to fight the battle with? Or that I have too much education. I have too much education to fight this battle. I have too much understanding. I have too much personal strength and fortitude to fight this battle. I am just too smart to fight this battle. Who would ever say something like that? Well, God will say something like that because God knows the outcome of this situation. Instead of God be glorifying us being in the place that we're supposed to be and God be lifting up in the scene, if we're not careful, we can get the scene about ourselves. I remember somebody that took this position one time. There was a situation where this young girl was prayed for, and the Lord miraculously healed this girl. I mean, it was a cancer situation, but the prayers was answered, and the girl was healed of this cancer. It was a notable miracle, thank God. Nobody else can do it. It definitely was God that did it. And I remember hearing some of the people that had prayed for the little girl saying, well, you know, we prayed for her. We had prayer for her, and they was doing this, and it was obviously taking credit for the righteousness of the prayers. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You ain't so good that your prayers are that much. It is by the grace and mercy of God that we get that. We're to lift up God. Who healed her? My prayers. Who healed her? Well, I've been living right. Who healed her? Well, I've been studying my Bible. You ought to have heard that prayer. It was God that healed her. We want people to know our God, that you can trust in our God. He's not always going to heal you, but he's always going to do the best for you. He's always going to be the God that takes care of you. That's why we're not putting everything on healing. It's not all on healing. It's all on glorifying God. It's all lifting up God, because there's an eternity beyond this world, and we want people to know it, and we want to lift up God. Jesus said of himself, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Me being lifted up don't draw nothing. I can get a following if I'm charismatic enough, or if I got entertainment enough, I can do it, or if I offer the right kind of things, I can get a following, but can save nobody's soul. I can get nobody any spiritually better off. I can give nobody peace for their life. I can't change anybody's badness to goodness. I can do none of those things. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Lift up Christ for what he is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bring honor and respect to God. Bring a good opinion of the God that we serve. And instead of that, Lord help me, I'm not being critical, I'm just saying, instead of that, Christianity as a whole has failed to bring glory to God. It is given to the world, for the most part, a foulness. With all the big TV evangelists and stuff that lives in millions and millions of dollars of things and corrupted and all of those kind of things, it's brought a box. No, do all that you do to the glory of God. You got too many people, he said, Gideon. You got too many. You're gonna have to get rid of some of the people. And you know the story probably, but they went through these things. Everybody that's afraid, somebody, if you're afraid, go back. And there, sure enough, there was people afraid. So they slimmed it down, and the Lord comes along and says, it's still too many. Well, what do we have to get down to? It's a great army. What do we got to get down to? You got to get down to God is your strength. God is your power, to where you can look at it and say, there is no reasonable way for us to win the battle. God's going to have to do something for us. You remember they got down to what, 300? 300 is going to go out there. They got their lamps and all the way out there. And God gave a great victory against great odds. He made them swim upstream. He made them come to a situation to where we're not going to be delivered by our own hands. We're not going to be able to do that. But it is the God whom we serve that is able to deliver us in our time of need. Lord, help us. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go back just a little bit on that. 23rd verse says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Wait a minute. Wouldn't it be a benefit to any people to have highly educated people in your congregation? Wouldn't it be a benefit to have people that was wise in this world that know how financial things worked and done all those things? Wouldn't it be wise to have people that were noble and wouldn't it be wise to have people of prestige? I mean, probably if you had some important people here, you could get more people to come. I mean, if you had something there, it's showing us something of eternal value. He said, you know, there's not many wise in this world calls. Not of this world. You know, Paul was an educated man. He was a very educated man. And read Philippians 2 and 3 and see what his mind about that education was. He had to sanctify his education. Yes, I was raised. This is what I was. And I count it all dung that I might win Christ. I count it all loss that I might know the excellency of the power of God. I've got to give that. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or you're not educated. It matters whether you give your heart fully to God or not. You know, God can bring glory, much glory. I use it many times here. Brother Sammons was a very uneducated man. He used to look at it and say, I feel like I could have done so much more for the gospel if I had an education. I understood what his heart wanted. He wanted to know how to write properly and speak English right and do those kind of things. And that wasn't important to God. God said, give me your heart and I'll make an evangelist out of you. And boy, did he make an evangelist out of him. He made a power of his speaking and an anointing would drop on him that people couldn't hardly resist it would come on him. And he didn't even know how to hardly write his name. I mean, he could write his name, but he had so little education. But he brought glory to God. Because you wonder what brought more glory to God? College graduated men would call him for advice because they wouldn't know what to do. And they'd call a man that didn't have no education but knew God. And he could give them the right counsel. And God was glorified because he took the small thing and made something big out of it. And we look at that and say, if God can do that for that old Eastern Kentucky country boy and do something like that, he can do something with me. He can do something with you. It isn't it's what God can do with us. It's about giving our heart to God. Lord, use this vessel to the glory of God. Whatever you want to do with this vessel, this is true religion, folks. This is truly serving God. It's to have the desire of our heart that it isn't about me and it isn't about what I accomplish and it isn't how people look at me. It's about how God is viewed. It's how I'm lifting up God. Lord, help us. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. We didn't go and get the strongest. We didn't go and try to build the army. We didn't try to build up stuff like that. It was the humble. It was the lacking. It was those that gave themselves to the Lord that the Lord really made something out of. And that's the miracle. You remember the scripture? It's just vaguely in my mind, but there's a scripture in Acts that says that they perceived that these people had been with Jesus. How did they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned men. These weren't men that should have had what they had. They were ignorant and unlearned. But something was coming out of them more than that, and they said they'd been with Jesus. Because when you're in Jesus, something comes out. You don't have to have those things. It's Jesus that comes out. That's what we want the world to know. I want the world to know this. Jesus will make a difference in your life. Jesus can give you peace where there's none, give you hope where there's none. Jesus can make a difference in your life where you hate and you can't keep from it. God can make you love again. God can change your heart and make a difference in your life. We want people to know that when you're down and out and you got nothing to live for, there's a God to live for. There's someone that can change your life and give you hope again and all those kind of things. Bring it to the glory of God. And that doesn't happen when we're selfishly living our lives. They just look and see nothing better out of Christianity than what the world's got. Folks, it's got to be more than that. Oh, I like to tell this story. It's part of my... Well, I was 16 years old, 17 years old, and I played men's league softball. And there was a man that played on there who was a highly religious man. He also... This wasn't a thing that there would have been an argument about back then. He was the biggest troublemaker in the Webster County Softball League. And it wasn't like there was a close second. This guy caused trouble, trouble, trouble. And he come up to me one day and said to me, I was on the other side of the fence, he came up to me and said, hey Marty, do you go to church? And I said, no sir. And he said, well you better start. And he walked away and I was angry. I'm telling you, I was so mad and I was thinking all at the same time. Why? So everybody around here can dislike me as much as they do you? I mean, I'm a sinner, but everybody here, I mean, they know I don't do what you do. I said that I don't need to say this. Do all that you do to the glory of God. Bring glory to the Lord. Lord's done something in my life. He's changed my life. I'm different than I used to be. I didn't just get on a profession and say, I'm professing Christ now, and I'm the same old man that I used to be. No, Jesus has done something for me. He didn't call many wise. He didn't call many mighty. Why did he call those things? Because they always will think that they had some goodness to do with it. There was a scripture where the guy goes up to a certain hour to pray. You remember the scripture? Two men did. Two men went up to pray. One of them was a man that said things like this. I thank God that I'm not as other men are. Well, I give alms of all. I fast so many times a week. I do all of these things. I fit the mold of the religious, perfect religious man so much so, God, you owe me. You owe me. He looked at God as a debtor. I do all of these things. And there was another man there, a sinner. Jesus tells this story, who wouldn't as much as lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote himself on the chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And which, do you suppose, went back to their house justified, feeling better? It was this man that all he did was smote himself on the chest. I want to say this today. Anytime we get in trouble, want the world to know it. Anytime you get in trouble, if you drop your head and smote yourself on the chest and say, Lord, have mercy on me, he'll hear you. He'll be there for you in those times of trouble. Over in 2 Corinthians 10, oh, let's see, 10. Now I, Paul, this is the first verse. I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, but there's a war going on. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. There is a war going on. And it speaks of that warfare. I find that this warfare is an ongoing warfare. I fight it today. I fight it tomorrow. I fought it yesterday. There is a warfare going on always for my soul. Always for the souls of men. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't take up the carnal side of this. We don't fight it carnally. We fight it to the glory of God, not to the flesh. When you start showing people the flesh, that's all the higher they can attain to. The flesh. Maybe you can be wise enough or mighty enough to overcome your neighbor over your problem. Or maybe you can go to law and do those kind of things and do that. But you've accomplished nothing in this warfare. This warfare is different than that warfare. This is always fighting upstream. And I'm going to tell you, the odds are always against you. It will always be against you. When you look at it, you would probably always say, I should lose. Except for one factor. God be with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is taking my part in this battle, if I've got God on this battle, I got victory ahead of me. It doesn't matter how many enemies are there. It doesn't matter what it looks like there. The power of prayer to change things, the power of prayer to intervene, to change people's hearts, to do those kind of things is mightier. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. You remember the Jericho? You remember the great walled cities of Canaan? And the children of Israel come over into there. That as far as if my memory's right, they didn't come over there with chariots and swords and spears and those kind of things. They came as a nation, though, marching, and they come up against the great stronghold, the great city of Jericho. What are you going to do? It's an uphill battle. There's the walls too thick. The things are too much. And the Lord told him something that's kind of militarily silly. March around it 6 times. One time a day. Well, that's really going to scare him. Just follow the Lord. This is about bringing glory to God. Who gets glory for this? Did Joshua get glory? Do we say, oh, Joshua was mighty because he brought the walls down? Joshua gets no credit. Just do what the Lord says. One time, six days, on the seventh time. Blow the trumpets and shout the glory of God. Shout that. That's all going upstream against the walls of that city. What's it going to take for the strongholds to fall? You know, I want to be able to testify to the world when they come and say, Brother Marty, I got a temper that I just cannot control. I want to be able to say, yeah, I know, and I believe you, brother. But I'm going to tell you about one that can control your temper. I'm going to tell you about one that if you'll give yourself to, will give you a power and authority over that beyond what you could ever think about. I want to be able to glorify God, not people, not, oh, you go to Pastor so-and-so and he'll lay hands on, boy, you'll get it then. No, there's benefits in what the Lord set up, but I'm going to tell you, it's not about him and it's not about that. And when you get your mind off on what somebody else is doing, no, get your mind on the Lord. All right, Joshua, round the O on the seventh time, and the walls of the city falls. I remember years ago, Paul Harvey told the story about the walls of Jericho, and he told about the archaeologists that went and dug at the cities of Jericho, and they said that it was very odd because the walls of the city should have, they fell, but they, in any natural thing, they should have all fell the same direction. If they all fell eastward, then all the cities or all of the walls should have fell a certain direction, and they didn't. They all fell outward, and it had them puzzled. And they couldn't, he said, they could not figure out what caused those walls to fall like that. And he says, but we know, don't we? That's right, Mr. Harvey. We know too, because the Bible tells us who done it, and it wasn't Joshua. And it wasn't by the natural things that happened. It was by the Spirit of the Lord. David said to Goliath, I didn't come in the name of David. I came here to glorify God. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not taking you on because I'm not a great soldier. I'm not a great thing. I'm coming to take this battle on, and it's going to, the ultimate end of this is, we thank God that David was a man that allowed God to use him. But did David really take care of the giant? Of course not. And David never claimed he did. It was God that did it, and God was glorified. And throughout those times, we look at those kind of things, and God has made his people swim upstream the whole time. You think Shadrach and Meshach, that was so given to God by their hearts, that God would have made a smooth sailing for him. But he didn't. He brought glory to his name through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All I'm saying is that we can run from our furnaces. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have bowed down to that idol. They wouldn't have been thrown into the fire. But neither would have God been glorified. God can keep you in the fire. And one of the things that we look at when we get in the fire now is there's a fourth man. How many times have you in those kind of things said, there's a fourth man in the fire? Somebody encourage you, brother, I know you're in the fire, but I want to tell you, the fourth man's still in there. He's still in your fire. He's still there. Glory to God. He's going to be in your fires. God's going to be in those kind of places. Lord, help us to do all that we do, whether we eat or drink. I'm getting mixed up into this technical idea whether I get to or can I without retribution, or would the church frown at me, or would the congregation not look at me just right, or I have all these other reasons about is this proper or enough, and I'd do it if I could, but I don't know if I can get by with it, or all those kind of things. Get way beyond that and say, I do all that I do to the glory of God. If it's not glorifying to God to say what I say, I won't say it. If that song that I sing isn't glorifying to God, I won't sing it. If where I go is not glorifying to God, I won't go there. It has nothing to do with rules and regulations. Because there's times that it might be right for you to go somewhere, but it won't bring glory to God to do it. Don't do it. I'm going to bring glory to God. And those look around to know that I think God is the most important thing in my life. I remember a brother told me recently, he said, I got the answer to the questions that people ask me. They ask me this or ask me that. Why do you do this? Why do you do this? He said. He said, oh, I got an answer for him that works real well. Because I love the Lord. He said, I do it because I love the Lord. Now, what's the comeback on that? I didn't say you had to do it. I didn't say it was a rule or regulation. I said, I do it because I love the Lord. And this is what I think he wants me to do. You know, if you love someone, you want to talk about it. If you love something, you want to talk about it. Something's interesting in your life. If you're a devoted golfer, you'll talk golf. If you love to fish, you'll talk fishing. And if you love the Lord, you'll talk about the Lord. It's just the truth. You love the Lord, you want to talk about the Lord. It's going to come up in the normal congregation. I don't have to beat this up or do this kind of stuff. I get in a conversation and someone will say, well, how did you do today? I'll say, I've done really good, thank the Lord. And I mean it. I wouldn't have done good if it wasn't been for the Lord. But I can say, I've done really good, thank the Lord. Or they'll ask me a question about something and I'll say, well, the Scripture says. You want to know the answer? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says about it. I don't have to wonder, because it's the natural process of what I care about. I care about it. And so it comes out. There isn't anything wrong with caring about other things. It's that you care about whatsoever you do, eat or drink. My eating isn't the top thing on my glorifying God is. Drinking isn't the glorifying God is. Where I go, I may love to do something, or I may really want to do something, but that ain't the top thing. The top thing is what the Lord wants me to do, and put that in its place. So whatsoever we do, whether we eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. It's like the standard, the bar is set up here, and it takes care of all the questions that you might have about what you're going to do. You want a pat answer on this? Do it to the glory of God. Put God in it and do it to the glory of God. I'll say this. You might make a mistake in what you do. You may make a mistake and find out later that you did it wrongfully. And maybe, but you thought that it was the Lord. You know that God takes note of that when you done it because you thought it was for Him? He knows we ain't perfect. And He will reward you when He knows you've done that for me. And you'll find out later, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But the Lord was pleased that you done it for Him. You know, God will reward you. I remember years ago, there was a sister down, Brother Manson, there was a sister down in Louisiana. She was an older sister, and she was quite a giver. She loved the Lord, and she loved to give of her means. And she got down to the end, and they was going to put her into an assistant living place there that she was going to. And they took her house, and they was going to sell everything out. And she told them, she said, when you settle everything, she said, I want you to give Brother Marty $1,000. She told me, you make sure that you, before you do anything else, I want to give him an offering of $1,000. Well, it all got mixed up in there. And so when I went down to visit her and, oh, she was just weeping. She was just weeping. Oh, Marty, I'm so sorry. They got it all messed up and they took care of everything. And I wanted to give you an offering of $1,000 and they've done it all and it's all gone. And I'm so sorry and all this. And I said, oh, sister, God got a cattle on 1,000 hills. God got it all. And I said, I'm going to tell you, sister, He countered that to you. I'm telling you, He countered that to you. You did that with your heart. You gave it. God said, you don't have to do it. All you got to do is if you will to do it. If you do it, then God counted that to you. I said, sister, don't worry about it. And Sister Alta, you don't have to worry about it. It's in your account. God bless you for it. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.